On Midwest Week, a look at education in Iowa by the numbers. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Megan Valley, reporter for the Quad City Times and Dispatch Argus. Recently, Megan, you wrote a series of stories about education in Iowa by the numbers, and what prompted all that?
So our executive editor, Matt Christensen, is really interested in education. And when you just talk to people, there seems to be the sense that either Iowa education is on top of the world or it used to be and it's maybe not anymore. And so we were trying to look at an explanatory series to look at, you know, what sorts of numbers go into those rankings and just sort of breaking those down a little bit.
Okay, so what are some of the numbers that you guys looked at?
Yeah, so we looked at preschool enrollment rates, fourth grade reading scores, ACT scores, high school graduation rates, and per pupil funding. And this one, we could sort of go through the entire public school education experience from pre-K through leaving it. And so we looked at a lot of different numbers that there's statistics about, and these ones seem to be the ones that popped up the most and maybe had the biggest consequences.
Okay, so what about high school graduation? How is Iowa doing as far as graduation rates?
Yeah, so Iowa has the highest graduation rates in the country, more than 90%, and they have a goal to get to 95. But once you get past a certain point, you know, every little bit is hard won.
So why is Iowa so good?
So part of it is if you look at just what the requirements are. So statewide, requirements are fairly low. If you look at individual districts, though, especially locally, those requirements are – it's more about local control. And so they have higher requirements that, you know, sort of push everyone back up to where most of the country might be. And so those, since they feed into local needs a little bit more, is perhaps better suited to those communities.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this across the board that Iowa's graduation rates are rising, or is it only for some groups?
So if you look at different demographics, most groups are increasing. There's a couple of groups, if you look at Indigenous people or like Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders, they're dropping a little bit. But all the other groups, if you look at socioeconomic class, if you look at whether they have IEPs or not, they're all increasing, not all at the same rate, but they're all making some gains.
Okay. Now, what about, let me see here, another number you looked at was the ACT, and what did you find there?
So right now, Iowa is tied with South Dakota for the highest average ACT score, 21.6, and that's a good score. In Iowa, you're not required to take it. So it's not that you're testing everyone. Mm-hmm. So while it's a good score to have, it's harder to use as a statewide benchmark. And I talked to someone at the ACT, and there's no real data to track. You know, can we definitively say it's the top students only that are taking it? But he said intuitively that would make sense. Okay. So about 2/3 of students take it in Iowa.
Okay, and here again, is it everybody in Iowa that takes it or certain groups? Or we just don't know how it splits that way?
So it's... You can see, like, some splits, but it's harder to look at, you know, like, are these, if you were to map it across, like, class ranking, for instance, is it just those same kids? Mm-hmm. So intuitively, if you're not going to college, if you're not applying for those sorts of scholarships, there's no real reason for you to take the ACT or the SAT or any admissions test. And so the best answer I can get from the ACT is it makes sense that it would be those kids. Anecdotally, that seems to be true, but they don't track that in that way.
Okay. And does the ACT matter as much anymore? I mean, we keep reading about colleges that don't require a standard test score to get in.
Mm-hmm. So I think that it still matters in some places, but there's certainly a de-emphasis on it. Mm-hmm. So there's some schools that don't require it at all. There's some where if you have a high enough high school GPA, they don't require you to send it. And then some schools still require it. Or a lot of schools still require, but even some of those, if you talk to admissions counselors, they're talking a lot more about looking at applications holistically. Mm-hmm. And so they'll look at it, but they'll make it clear to you that they want to look at everything. Okay. It's not just a test score.
Now, another number that you looked at was fourth grade reading proficiency. And why did you pick reading proficiency and why fourth grade?
Yeah, so reading is important for every other school subject. You can't do anything else with it. And fourth grade reading in particular is when you start to see achievement gaps really start to set in. And because it was such a critical period for reading scores, like if you don't really catch some of the problems, then it'll just get worse and worse and you'll get farther and farther behind. So that's why we picked fourth grade. That's also when the NAEP test looks at fourth grade reading scores. And those don't test every student, but they'll has a cross-section of students in each state to sort of get a snapshot of where kids are at.
Okay, so where's Iowa in fourth grade reading?
So Iowa in fourth grade reading right now, very middle of the pack. You know, if you go a decade ago, Iowa had some of the highest scores. If you talk to people in the Department of Education, they'll tell you, well, now people have caught up to where Iowa already was. And that's true to some extent, but if we're middle of the pack, that means that there's also a lot of states who are surpassing us.
Yeah, and it just seems like, you know, the average moves up and we don't move up with the average.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everything has slided up. So our scores individually have been pretty steady, but there are definitely states that are making progress, that are making gains that just aren't as apparent here.
Did anyone that you talked to talk about fourth grade reading? Did they talk about how we can do better or what sort of things might work to improve this?
Yeah, so I talked to some people from Mississippi, actually. Mm-hmm. So they just for the first time hit average reading scores, but they've seen really, really incredible increases in their scores. They've taken some drastic and some controversial steps to do that. So, for instance, you can't move from third to fourth grade unless you pass a reading test. And so that's part of it. Mm-hmm. But if you're just looking at the test, you can see how that's increased. Now, there's some other ramifications that we haven't really had enough time to see how those play out. Mm-hmm. But that's how they've made progress.
And the final number you looked at was money. And how much does Iowa spend now per student?
So if we're pending what state supplemental aid ends up getting approved, looks like it'll be between like $6,500 and $7,000, probably more towards the higher end of that, maybe a little bit more than $7,000 per student.
Okay. Maybe I'm ignorant, but shouldn't it be the same all across the state that every district should get the same amount per student?
Many, many people would argue that. So how school funding works in Iowa is in the 70s, they set a minimum benchmark for this is how much you have to pay per student. Mm-hmm. So it was towards the middle of the pack between districts. And any district that was paying or was spending less than that, you know, they got bumped up to that minimum. In any district that was spending more than that, they could continue spending at those higher rates. So when people talk about the disparity, and they'll say it's $137 more, I think, more per person. Yes, there are districts that can spend that, but there's really only a handful that are at that far end of the spectrum.
No, isn't this the disparity that got Davenport into trouble and sort of still is in trouble?
Yes. So in a couple of years ago, former Superintendent Art Tate, he made the announcement to the school board that he wanted to start spending more to make up that deficit. And when you look at, you know, a couple hundred dollars per student, when you have a massive district like Davenport, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they were going to make this point, and the School Budget Review Committee kept telling them that you can't do that. You have to close that deficit that you've built up. And so finally, within like the last year, the SBRC got very serious about it, and they had to make cuts. So a couple of weeks ago, $9 million of the approximately $13 million that they had to cut over 2 years was forgiven. But just last night, they made almost $5 million in cuts. For next school year.
Okay, but the state of Iowa has still not updated the school funding formula, has it?
They haven't fully. They're working on closing that gap. I think it's like $5 per year until it's closed. So eventually, it'll be closed, but it's a very slow process right now.